The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with my soul. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Vesak, it's Vesak Day. And Vesak is our celebration of the birth, life, enlightenment, teaching, and even the death of Shakyamuni Buddha. We celebrate the whole lot today because this is the life of a human being. He was human. He was like us, maybe a little wiser than some of us, but he was a normal human being. He wasn't a super person. He wasn't a god. He wasn't anything, you know, beyond a human being in a sense. And it's our biggest festival of the year. It's the Buddhist New Year, starts today. And it's a really big thing for us. So as you see, those of you who haven't been here before, we make a big thing out of it and we really like it. I'm really glad you all came today. It's just lovely to have everybody here. So, the Buddha was a human being and he had many excellent attributes which we also aspire to. When you read the stories about him in the old scriptures, you see this picture of a really sane, sensible, wise person, you know, and kind, above all kind. After his enlightenment, he spent 45 years teaching people. And if something wasn't working, he'd change it and just kept trying to make things work constantly. Just what helps people? What helps this person? What helps that person? Seeing where people were coming from and responding to that. So if people came to argue with him, okay, he'd argue just kind of, because that's where they were coming from, but eventually they'd give up usually. Or sometimes they'd come to argue and they'd hear him talking about the Dharma and they'd just forget about their argument and, you know, become his disciples and think, well, I think I was wrong about this. He was just very, very kind and skillful. Kindness. I'm always talking about kindness because it's the one thing we can all do. We may think, I don't meditate very well, or I'm not very wise, or whatever, but we can all be kind. And if there's anything that Buddhism is, it is kindness, just the practice of kindness. The Buddha practiced kindness. And those who practice the Buddhist way seem to be marked by kindness. You don't have to have special attributes to be kind to somebody. You don't have to figure it out. You just let it come forth. Simply treating other beings kindly, letting it come out naturally, not saying, okay, I'm going to be kind now, you know, but just letting kindness arise naturally, because we all have it within ourselves. We just need to let it out. Simple generosity of heart. Just doing our best to harmonize, to make things work, to see the best in people, to think kindly of them with generosity rather than suspecting their motives or whatever. Not insisting on our way of doing things. Just harmonizing with other people, letting things flow naturally. Openness of heart, really, I think is what it comes down to. I was trying to prepare this talk today and I was thinking, what am I trying to talk about? And I couldn't quite get it, what I was actually, I couldn't quite get what I was trying to come to. And I finally, just before I had to come over, I thought, okay, openness of heart is really what I'm trying to talk about today. Because there's something about Vesak that really opens the heart. Here we have flags and cakes and flowers and candles and elephants and, you know, just about everything you could think of. And it's just lovely. We just kind of do it up. And we all do it together. We're all coming here together to sing, to pour water over the baby Buddha, and just rejoice together in a very simple, open-hearted kind of way. And it's joyful. It's really nice. Openness of heart. as I said, kindness, treating other beings with kindness, treating ourselves with kindness. Not insisting on something in particular. Seeing the good in beings, seeing the good in ourselves, seeing the good in other beings. Not looking for their faults or getting exasperated when they don't do things our way. Easy to say, hard to do sometimes. So I think, oh, yep, here I am thinking about kindness. I'm getting exasperated, getting irritated by this thing. No, it's okay. At least they're here, you know, doing whatever it is they're doing. I'm glad they're here rather than being somewhere else. Because with openness of heart, we can accept everything that we do, that others do, and just do our best with it. Seeing that beings are trying to do their best, whoever they may be, whatever they may be doing, they're actually trying to do their best. Usually, sometimes it's a bit funny, but sometimes it's terrible. But seeing generally people are actually, by and large, trying to live decent, good lives and do the best they can with them, even if it doesn't look like it to us. To see where people are coming from, to be grateful for what they're doing, be grateful for the offering they make, even if it isn't exactly what we wanted, to be grateful for what they give, what they do, what they give to us, how they participate in our lives. To be grateful for all of that, whoever they may be. When we have a grumpy view, you know, see the goodness in it, in the goodness in this situation, not just holding on to our little crabbiness. Seeing things from the point of view of another person. Trying to understand, why are they doing this? Rather than making a judgment, thinking, that's really dumb, or that's not nice. Why are they doing this? Maybe taking the time to talk to them and find out, you know, why are they doing this? And it might completely change our view to see how another person perceives things, rather than just getting upset, but just seeing, why is this happening this way? What do they have in mind? To take the time to put ourselves in someone else's shoes to see what it is they might be, what they might be dealing with, you know, how they are perceiving things. We don't know how another person sees things, actually. No matter who they may be, we cannot see it exactly through their eyes. But we can try. Being willing to be wrong, you know. Being willing not to know what to do or what's best. I don't know what's best here. Being willing to be a fool for the sake of truth, for the sake of clarity, openness, not trying to be somebody or maintain our dignity or be some special person, but just being willing to be ourselves as best we can, not trying to be perfect, not trying to look perfect, not even insisting on being consistent, because usually we're not, but just trying to do our best in each moment and not holding on to some idea of who I am or what I am. Somebody was telling me yesterday, they realized in their dreams, they're not there, they're not a person. They do things, but they're not a me. There's not a self there in their dreams. I thought, that's interesting. I'm not a, you know, are we a self in our dream? Are people sort of, you know, relating to us and say, oh yes, there's, you know, good for you and all this. No, we just do stuff in dreams, if you think about it. I thought it was a very interesting observation. So maybe, you know, we just pick ourselves up when we wake up in the morning. Okay, here I am. I'm Mayan. This is what Mayan does. This is how she thinks, you know. And maybe you just put it away at night and just have dreams and we're not anybody. Very interesting. I thought it was great. So, being willing not to be a person, being willing not to know anything, being willing to be a fool. Try not to be foolish. Looking at things with a simple, naive mind, like the mind of a child. As I said, it doesn't mean being foolish or childish. Rather, it's just simplicity. A simplicity of presence. A simplicity of being. not getting ourselves all convoluted and wrapped up and I have to do this and I've got to do that and trying to kind of manipulate things or have an agenda or whatever. Just a simplicity of being, which means mindfulness, being here, right in this moment, wholeheartedly, not somewhere else, but right here, whatever presents itself to us, and trying to do our honest best with it. Not having a special agenda or something we want, but just honestly trying to do our simple best. Easy to say, sometimes hard to do. An openness, a fresh view. The naive, simple mind of a child. This is the very opposite of cynicism or skepticism. It's trusting in the innate goodness of all beings, including ourselves, which allows that goodness to come forth. When we see goodness in another person, we call it forth. We're nourishing it in them. When we see goodness in ourselves, or we trust in it, we allow it to come forth from ourselves. We're trusting it, we're nourishing it. If you don't believe in goodness, then it's hard for it to show itself. When we see it and trust it, it tends to respond, both in ourselves and in others. Not expecting the worst of people. Not looking for meanness or some ulterior motive in other people. Sometimes it's there, sometimes there is meanness or an ulterior motive. And when it's there, we can see it, we don't have to be foolish. We can see it, we don't have to make a judgment about it. We can just say, okay, there's that, there seems to be an agenda here. Just be careful, but not be judgmental. Not cut the person off or feel that they're somehow separate from me. When there's a problem, looking for a way through rather than getting upset. How can we make this work? What really needs to be done? Can we do it differently? What do we really need to do? Can we find some way that will work for everybody? Talking to the people involved, this is a wonderful thing. Rather than taking a position and getting upset, to talk to people. What is it you're trying to do here? What's the problem here? What is it that needs to be done? Why is it difficult? How do you see this? What can we do? And then finding a way forward, finding our way through, rather than kind of coming up against a wall because it's not what we wanted. It's surprising how you can find a way through all sorts of seemingly difficult situations. And, of course, this doesn't always work. Sometimes, I'm not just trying to say, oh, everything's lovely, all we have to do is be nice. Sometimes it's really hard, sometimes it's really difficult, sometimes everybody's thorny, sometimes it's very hard to work with people, but we can aspire to do our best and to relinquish our own taking of positions or having an agenda or a view or getting stuck up a tree of some kind, to come down and see, how can we make it work? What is to see the goodness and the generosity in others and allow that to come forth and allow our own generosity to come forth also. Just that generosity of heart, of putting ourselves out for somebody, taking some time, looking at their viewpoint, trying to help rather than, having our crabby view. Because we're all interconnected. We're all connected to everybody else. It's funny, I hear this for years, and it would just bounce off. We're all interconnected, right? And actually, it is absolutely, viscerally true. And if we can just kind of trust that in a certain way, even if you're like me and you don't really quite get it, to trust that, we begin to see it. We are all interconnected. When somebody else is unhappy, we cannot rejoice. We're always a little bit sad. If somebody else is happy, we feel happy too. We don't have to, sometimes we can feel envious of somebody. Oh, they're all happy. Why should they be? I'm miserable. But actually, we don't want to be that way. We'd much rather rejoice with somebody who's happy and not kind of polarize ourselves. They've got something I haven't got. It's much more real to actually rejoice with the rejoicing of other beings, to feel sad when they feel sad, to be part of humanity, all part of each other, not isolated, cut off, separate. And the more we can trust that connection with everyone else, the more we can truly sympathize and we can truly be kind. But it's not a pretend kindness, it's real kindness, because it comes from the heart, from that heart that knows they're just like us, you know, we're all the same, just human beings trying to do our best, and we're all a bit different. But everybody has joy and sorrow, fear, pain, disappointment, hurts, and all that. We may have had a lot of disappointment in our lives. We may have been let down and hurt, betrayed, you know. Things didn't turn out the way we'd like. When we were young, we had all these aspirations, and now we think, well, you know. But we don't have to live an expectation that we will keep on being hurt, betrayed, let down, and so forth. We can still trust. We have to trust, actually. It's much better to be open and trust other beings than to cut oneself off just in case they'll hurt us. Because that's miserable. It's worse than being hurt. To be hurt now and then and to trust beings is a whole lot better than to try and insulate ourselves from others. Because it's a sadness to be cut off and isolated. It's much better just to spit up out and trust beings. Not being foolish, as I said, but basically trusting in the innate goodness of beings with an open eye. The naive mind of a child, and as I said, not foolish or foolishness or ignorance, the naive open heart of a child. The openness of trust, knowing that in reality there is nothing that can damage us. We will lose nothing if we trust, fundamentally. Our feelings can be hurt, our view of ourselves can be hurt, we can be disappointed, we can lose something, and yet, fundamentally, there is that within us which cannot be damaged. And if we live from that and trust that aspect in other beings, we're a whole lot happier and better off, and we can live in truth and with that simplicity of being. All the Buddha's virtues, just about gratitude, reverence, faith, stillness, all of these nourish that open and trusting heart, because the open and trusting heart is really what we're trying to foster. We're not trying to just be wise. We're not just trying to be meditating deeply. We're actually trying to see our oneness with all things and all beings and to live from that. And as part of that, to see that we're really not that much different from other people. We're all pretty much the same. And to trust in that. When we sit still, deeply still, there is only compassion. And in this place, we cannot find it in ourselves to judge another person, to criticize another person, to hurt another person, even to think an unkind thought of another person. In that deep place of stillness, all there is compassion. That's what's there. And we come back to that every now and then. We're lucky, and we come back to that. And most of our lives, we're doing all the stuff and dealing with all the things and the people and so forth, and we forget. But if you can just now and then remember, that's the reality, that deep, soft compassion that underlies everything. And if we're lucky, every now and then, we come back to it. And there it is, absolutely real. to refrain from spitting out the angry word or indulging the crabby thought too much. You know, that it comes, just let it go by. You know. To remember that in that place there is just compassion, and to keep coming back to that. Bathing the baby Buddha today, as we all did, pouring water over the baby Buddha. As we do this, we wash away our old hurts and disappointments, our old fears, our kind of armor. We can wash that away as we bathe the baby Buddha. It's the new year, washing away our judgments, washing away our cynical views, all our agendas, all the ways we often see the world, to wash that away and see the world in a new way on this new day. And it seems easy to do this today. Here we are, bathing the baby Buddha, singing invocations and so forth, to be open and to let all those views and hurts dissipate. It seems easy today. But then we go back to our life. And here's daily life, and here's this person who's annoying me, and here's all the stuff, and here's my problems, and all this worries and fears. And but if you can come back and remember the bathing of the baby Buddha, and remember that we can do that anytime, sitting in meditation, that is the bathing of the baby Buddha. Just to sit still for a moment and come back to compassion, to come back to that fundamental thing, the anchor, the root of it all. There is nothing but compassion there. And if just for a moment we can come back to that, and if you can't feel it, to trust that it's still there, it's not gone. Just because we don't seem to feel it, it's still there at the basis. The fundament of our lives is compassion. And our openness of heart, as we can foster it, helps us to find that, find our way back to it. Even in the midst of all conditions, sometimes the hardest conditions are the ones that help us the most to come back to that fundamental compassion. When something really sad happens, we find our way right back. You know, things really difficult, we're ill or something, we're afraid. Sometimes we can just find our way right back to it. That lovely invocation we sang today, may I myself be happy, may I myself be free, may I myself be peaceful and free from suffering. Then we go through all our friends, our enemies, our families, all the people we know, people we don't know, strangers. May all, and finally, may all beings be happy. May all beings be free. May all beings be peaceful and free from suffering. This is a lovely thing to sing, and it's actually, it's not just a nice idea. It's actually a real aspiration, a real wish to help us to come back to that fundamental thing, the basis of compassion. So, on this Vaisak day, let us practice generosity, openness of heart, kindness to all beings, including ourselves, acceptance of everybody, including ourselves, acceptance of all the things that happen to us, because all of them can help us to come back to that fundamental compassion, which is the reality, as we all begin this new year together. Thank you.